You know, we experience several beginnings of the year every year. We begin the calendar year on January 1st. That's pretty well agreed and pretty universal. But then the Christian year begins on the first Sunday of Advent. But you know, for years now, and maybe it's because I went to school so many years, went to school so very long, the year really begins about this time of year when school starts. It is a time of change, changing classes, going away to college, moving from one school to another school, a time of excitement and anxiety. Because change always is a time of excitement and anxiety. And before I had two daughters who are now teachers, I didn't realize that it was a time of excitement and anxiety for teachers as well as students. But it is. I think Kohelet, the speaker of the book of Ecclesiastes, who is called the teacher, or the preacher, or maybe just the speaker, had a sense of the fact that change is always a part of our lives, and often those changes go between two polarities, opposites in life. You get that in the passage that you heard Aaron read earlier. There is a time for all the opposites of life, a time for birth, a time for death. A time to gather stones, a time to scatter stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. All the opposites of life are contained within this community and life that we live. And Kohelet recognized that. Not that that's the way it should be necessarily, but that's just the way it is. As one of the things I've always liked about stories and storytelling is that stories try to navigate, and I think the other arts do as well, poetry and song, try to navigate our way between those polarities, try to help us find ways to learn from our experiences. How could we oppose the destruction of war and seek for peace if we hadn't known that destruction in some way? How would we know to seek for love if we hadn't experienced the pain of hate? And he finds that in all of this, the best thing to do is simply to depend on the ordinary things of life. To eat, to drink, to enjoy the everyday things we do, to enjoy the companions that we move among on this journey of faith. You see, Kohelet has tried pretty much everything. If you read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he's done it all. He sought after pleasure, he sought after power, he sought after fame, he sought after money, and he finds it all empty, ultimately. Because everything will change and does change, and we can never know God's mind from beginning to end. That's impossible for a human being. But we can enjoy the gifts that God brings into our lives for the time that they are there. That's the best, he says. But the one thing you can be sure of is that life will bring change. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about a change that's going to be coming to my life, and thus it's a change that's going to be coming to your lives as well. At the end of June next year, 2017, I will be retiring from active ministry in the local church. I'll be 66 and a half years old. I will have served 43 years in the Tennessee Conference. And it just seems to be time. Not because I don't love you, I do love you. My calling has always been to tell stories in whatever way, through poems, through written stories, through oral narrative, and to help other people tell stories. That was my calling before I ever served my first church. It will be my calling long after I serve this church. For 43 years, that calling has been lived out within the context of the Tennessee Conference and serving churches and working at the Board of Discipleship. But after next summer, it will simply take a different form. The calling won't end. It will simply find different means of expression. So, why is he telling us this now? I mean, after all, for those of you who are saddened by this news, the good news is that I'll still be around for 10 and a half months. For those of you who are breathing a sigh of relief and thinking, well, it's about time, the bad news is I'll still be around for 10 and a half months. Okay? Why would I do this? Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is I wanted to be forthright and honest with you. I had already talked to our district superintendent and bishop. In fact, I talked to them back in February. I talked to them then because I wanted them to have time to choose the absolute right person to come into this position next summer. That means they wouldn't move somebody this year who would be perfect to come here next year. And I told them so. So the ball's in their court, in essence. I shared that with Staff Parish as well. And they will be working with Staff Parish to help find that right person here. But another reason, and probably the most important reason, is that I wanted to make kind of a soft launch. Let me tell you what that means. Where I grew up, when people would come to visit and they would start to go home, they would be sitting around the trailer and they'd get ready to go home, and one of the guests would say something like, well, I reckon we better mosey on. And of course the host would say, oh, why don't you stay a while? Didn't matter how long you'd been there already. So we would continue to talk for about 25, 30 minutes, and then the guest would get up and maybe gather up things and move toward the door, and they'd say, well, I reckon we better be getting up home. No, why don't you stay a little while? So we'd stand at the door and talk for another 20 or 30 minutes. Then they'd say, well, I reckon we better be getting up the hill where the poor folks live. And then we'd stand by the car and talk for another extended period of time. So you see, the transition of guests going home where I grew up was a soft launch. It was a transition that took a while and happened in stages. I don't know if that made it any easier, but that's just how I grew up. And so I guess I'm just saying today, well, I reckon I better mosey on. Okay? And we'll talk for a while more, and we will finally get there. Some of the confirmation that came to me very quickly after I had announced to the Bishop District Superintendent and Staff Parish Committee was that, unbeknownst to anyone else, I started getting invitations to do things outside the church that I simply couldn't do with the responsibilities I have here. I'm going to be doing a couple of workshops for our Division of Chaplains on storytelling. That includes military chaplains, hospital chaplains, prison chaplains, and pastoral counselors. One on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. If we're lucky, one in Europe. I get to teach a class, a week-long intensive for Wesley Theological Seminary. Been invited to do a pretty exciting thing at the University of Evansville. They have an institute for theology for high school students. And I've been asked to be theologian in residence, which is pretty impressive if you didn't know me, right? And the writing, which I can do in small bits and pieces now, but for long-form writing, which has always been really important for me, I've written all my life, I need extended time, and that time is not something that is allowed given this particular position. I look forward to all of that. I also look forward to the fact that perhaps after a period of being away that I can come back and help with the four-story theater, with the arts ministry. I have been very fortunate because in a number of the congregations I've served, I've had pastors who had served there previously who were then members of the congregation. That's been a blessing to me. It has been here. It continues to be here, and it has been in churches I've served previously. I would hope at some point I could be that for someone else as well. So you're not rid of me quite yet. But I did find after a while that, you know, this being pastor in charge, did you know that was my title in the discipline? Pastor in charge? Like I'm in charge of anything really? This being pastor in charge is not all it's cracked up to be. All that means is that while I have a wonderful, strong, and capable staff, they are not responsible for anything that I do. I am responsible for everything that they do, basically, according to the discipline. And after a while, that weighs on you. A couple of weeks ago, in a sermon, I made an impertinent remark, at least some folks thought it was. I said, you know, ministry is like a huge black hole of need, and it's relentless. As I've shared that with other clergy, every single one of them has nodded and said yes. On that day, as I was standing at the door over here, a retired clergy person who happened to be visiting that day from Mississippi came out my door and said, you never know the burden you carry until you lay it down. They had retired 3 years earlier. And so I'm looking forward to not being in charge of everything. I'll be honest with you. But one thing I know is that God is present here. God's steadfast love is present here. And no matter who is in this position, you know who you are. You are those people who are called to be the loving light of Christ in the world. You are those people who, being the loving light of Christ, are called to connect folks to God and to each other so that God can have a transforming effect on their lives. Being here has transformed my life. I'm guessing being a part of this congregation has transformed your life to some extent, or you wouldn't be here this morning, would you? But things do change over time, and there are other indicators, honestly, that we do need to change. For several years, when I first came here, the worship attendance rose. And then a couple of years ago, it kind of flattened off, and then last year it went down, and this year it looks like it might go down a little bit more. I think that's a sign that new energy, new vision, new life is needed. We, together, have done a lot of great stuff these past 6.5 years, and we have almost another year to continue that. Or maybe I should say God has done a lot of great stuff through us. But, you know, that was only because we were building on a foundation that went back to previous pastors, to Tom Laney and David Lowe's Watson, on back to Russ Monfort, on back to Roy Clark, on back, on back, on back, on back. Each of us brings the gift that we have to offer. And we offer that gift to God in your presence. And whoever comes after me will bring a different set of gifts and will offer those gifts in God's presence to you. And God will bless that work. I know that will happen. So over the next 10.5 months, one of the things I want to do is to take what we have and to build on that. We already have a congregation where if you want to be involved in mission, there will be an opportunity for you to be involved in mission. You don't have to miss out on that. We are already involved in a congregation where if you want to grow in your faith through spiritual formation, through Bible study, through covenant discipleship groups, you can do that. You have that opportunity. We are already involved in a congregation that welcomes everyone who comes. And it doesn't matter your country of origin, your language, your skin color, who you love. None of that matters, but we welcome you into this body of Christ. We have that to build on. And so what I'm hoping is we can extend what we've already done. Remember, on our pilgrimage theme, we first started talking about, Lord, where are you leading us now? And then where are you sending us now? And I would like to think that after the first of the year, we can focus on, God, who are you sending us now? Not meaning simply the person in this position, but I believe that every person who passes through that door is someone God sent to us, someone God sent for us to welcome and embrace, to be a part of this body of Christ. And so I'm hoping that a part of our transition will be a look at hospitality and welcome. We're better, but there are still people who write me emails and write me letters occasionally who say they visited here and no one spoke to them. We don't want those letters coming. It may be that they sat among another group of visitors, all of whom didn't know the others. It may be that they were just a little too shy to approach us, but it really isn't their responsibility. It's ours. We've got our work to do, and we can do that. We can continue to build on the foundations of those who have gone before us in order to truly be those people who take the loving light of Christ into the world, because we've seen it here. We've received it here. And so I'm looking forward to working with you all over these next months to be sure that we are able to welcome whoever comes, not just in this position, but whoever comes through that door. Because that person, no matter who they are, will be a blessing to us in one way or another, because God has sent them. You know, change is not easy. Even when you choose it, it's not easy. But, as Kohelet noticed, it is a part of the ongoingness of life. And we are called to enjoy those people and those things that God has placed in our lives. The basic food and drink that we share every day. The stuff that we do every day. The people who accompany us on this journey every day are all gifts from God. And no matter what change might come, God's steadfast love is with us now and forever. That's the thing that does not change, that will not ever change. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in lots of ways, especially in what we do, but also by what we say. And our affirmations of, for all the opposites of life, a time for birth, a time for death, a time to gather stones, a time to scatter stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. All the opposites of life are contained within this community and life that we live. And Kohelet recognized that. Not that that's the way it should be necessarily, but that's just the way it is. As one of the things I've always liked about stories and storytelling is that stories try to navigate, and I think the other arts do as well, poetry and song, try to navigate our way between those polarities, try to help us find ways to learn from our experiences. How could we oppose the destruction of war and seek for peace if we hadn't known that destruction in some way? How would we know to seek for love if we hadn't experienced the pain of hate? And he finds that in all of this, the best thing to do is simply to depend on the ordinary things of life. To eat, to drink, to enjoy the everyday things we do, to enjoy the companions that we move among on this journey of faith. You see, Kohelet has tried pretty much everything. If you read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he's done it all. He sought after pleasure, he sought after power, he sought after fame, he sought after money, and he finds it all empty, ultimately. Because everything will change and does change, and we can never know God's mind from beginning to end. That's impossible for a human being. But we can enjoy the gifts that God brings into our lives for the time that they are there. That's the best, he says. But the one thing you can be sure of is that life will bring change. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about a change that's going to be coming to my life, and thus it's a change that's going to be coming to your lives as well. At the end of June next year, 2017, I will be retiring from active ministry in the local church. I'll be 66 and a half years old. I will have served 43 years in the Tennessee Conference, and it just seems to be time. Not because I don't love you, I do love you. My calling has always been to tell stories in whatever way, through poems, through written stories, through oral narrative, and to help other people tell stories. That was my calling before I ever served my first church. It will be my calling long after I serve this church. For 43 years, that calling has been lived out within the context of the Tennessee Conference and serving churches and working at the Board of Discipleship. But after next summer, it will simply take a different form. The calling won't end. It will simply find different means of expression. So, why is he telling us this now? I mean, after all, for those of you who are saddened by this news, the good news is that I'll still be around for 10 and a half months. For those of you who are breathing a sigh of relief and thinking, well, it's about time, the bad news is I'll still be around for 10 and a half months, okay? Why would I do this? Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is I wanted to be forthright and honest with you. I had already talked to our district superintendent and bishop. In fact, I talked to them back in February. I talked to them then because I wanted them to have time to choose the absolute right person to come into this position next summer. That means they wouldn't move somebody this year who would be perfect to come here next year. And I told them so. So the ball's in their court, in essence. I shared that with Staff Parish as well. And they will be working with Staff Parish to help find that right person here. But another reason, and probably the most important reason, is that I wanted to make kind of a soft launch. Let me tell you what that means. Where I grew up, when people would come to visit and they would start to go home, they would be sitting around the trailer and they'd get ready to go home, and one of the guests would say something like, well, I reckon we better mosey on. And of course the host would say, oh, why don't you stay a while? Didn't matter how long you'd been there already. So we would continue to talk for about 25, 30 minutes, and then the guest would get up and maybe gather up things and move toward the door, and they'd say, well, I reckon we better be getting up home. No, why don't you stay a little while? So we'd stand at the door and talk for another 20 or 30 minutes. Then they'd say, well, I reckon we better be getting up the hill where the poor folks live. And then we'd stand by the car and talk for another extended period of time. So you see, the transition of guests going home where I grew up was a soft launch. It was a transition that took a while and happened in stages. I don't know if that made it any easier, but that's just how I grew up. And so I guess I'm just saying today, well, I reckon I better mosey on. Okay? And we'll talk for a while more, and we will finally get there. Some of the confirmation that came to me very quickly after I had announced to the bishop, district superintendent, and staff parish committee was that, unbeknownst to anyone else, I started getting invitations to do things outside the church that I simply couldn't do with the responsibilities I have here. I'm going to be doing a couple of workshops for our division of chaplains on storytelling. That includes military chaplains, hospital chaplains, prison chaplains, and pastoral counselors. One on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. If we're lucky, one in Europe. I get to teach a class, a week-long intensive for Wesley Theological Seminary. Been invited to do a pretty exciting thing at the University of Evansville. They have an institute for theology for high school students. And I've been asked to be theologian in residence, which is pretty impressive if you didn't know me, right? And the writing, which I can do in small bits and pieces now, but for long-form writing, which has always been really important for me, I've written all my life, I need extended time, and that time is not something that is allowed given this particular position. I look forward to all of that. I also look forward to the fact that perhaps after a period of being away that I can come back and help with the four-story theater, with the arts ministry. I have been very fortunate because in a number of the congregations I've served, I've had pastors who had served there previously who were then members of the congregation. That's been a blessing to me. It has been here. It continues to be here, and it has been in churches I've served previously. I would hope at some point I could be that for someone else as well. So you're not rid of me quite yet. But I did find after a while that, you know, this being pastor in charge, did you know that was my title in the discipline? Pastor in charge? Like I'm in charge of anything really? This being pastor in charge is not all it's cracked up to be. All that means is that while I have a wonderful, strong, and capable staff, they are not responsible for anything that I do. I am responsible for everything that they do, basically, according to the discipline. And after a while, that weighs on you. A couple of weeks ago in a sermon, I made an impertinent remark, at least some folks thought it was. I said, you know, ministry is like a huge black hole of need, and it's relentless. As I've shared that with other clergy, every single one of them has nodded and said yes. On that day, as I was standing at the door over here, a retired clergy person who happened to be visiting that day from Mississippi came out my door and said, you never know the burden you carry until you lay it down. They had retired 3 years earlier. And so I'm looking forward to not being in charge of everything. I'll be honest with you. But one thing I know is that God is present here. God's steadfast love is present here. And no matter who is in this position, you know who you are. You are those people who are called to be the loving light of Christ in the world. You are those people who, being the loving light of Christ, are called to connect folks to God and to each other so that God can have a transforming effect on their lives. Being here has transformed my life. I'm guessing being a part of this congregation has transformed your life to some extent, or you wouldn't be here this morning, would you? But things do change over time, and there are other indicators, honestly, that we do need a change. For several years, when I first came here, the worship attendance rose. And then a couple of years ago, it kind of flattened off, and then last year it went down, and this year it looks like it might go down a little bit more. I think that's a sign that new energy, new vision, new life is needed. We, together, have done a lot of great stuff these past 6.5 years, and we have almost another year to continue that. Or maybe I should say God has done a lot of great stuff through us. But, you know, that was only because we were building on a foundation that went back to previous pastors, to Tom Laney and David Lowe's Watson, on back to Russ Montfort. On back to Roy Clark, on back, on back, on back, on back. Each of us brings the gift that we have to offer. And we offer that gift to God in your presence. And whoever comes after me will bring a different set of gifts, and will offer those gifts in God's presence to you. And God will bless that work. I know that will happen. So over the next 10.5 months, one of the things I want to do is to take what we have and to build on that. We already have a congregation where if you want to be involved in mission, there will be an opportunity for you to be involved in mission. You don't have to miss out on that. We are already involved in a congregation where if you want to grow in your faith through spiritual formation, through Bible study, through covenant and discipleship groups, you can do that. You have that opportunity. We are already involved in a congregation that welcomes everyone who comes. And it doesn't matter your country of origin, your language, your skin color, who you love. None of that matters, but we welcome you into this body of Christ. We have that to build on. And so what I'm hoping is we can extend what we've already done. Remember, on our pilgrimage theme, we first started talking about, Lord, where are you leading us now? And then, where are you sending us now? And I would like to think that after the first of the year, we can focus on, God, who are you sending us now? Not meaning simply the person in this position, but I believe that every person who passes through that door is someone God sent to us, someone God sent for us to welcome and embrace, to be a part of this body of Christ. And so I'm hoping that a part of our transition will be a look at hospitality and welcome. We're better. But there are still people who write me emails and write me letters occasionally who say they visited here and no one spoke to them. We don't want those letters coming. It may be that they sat among another group of visitors, all of whom didn't know the others. It may be that they were just a little too shy to approach us, but it really isn't their responsibility. It's ours. We've got our work to do, and we can do that. We can continue to build on the foundations of those who have gone before us in order to truly be those people who take the loving light of Christ into the world, because we've seen it here. We've received it here. And so I'm looking forward to working with you all over these next months, to be sure that we are able to welcome whoever comes, not just in this position, but whoever comes through that door. Because that person, no matter who they are, will be a blessing to us in one way or another, because God has sent them. You know, change is not easy. Even when you choose it, it's not easy. But as Kohelet noticed, it is a part of the ongoingness of life. And we are called to enjoy those people and those things that God has placed in our lives. The basic food and drink that we share every day. The stuff that we do every day. The people who accompany us on this journey every day are all gifts from God. And no matter what change might come, God's steadfast love is with us now and forever. That's the thing that does not change, that will not ever change. Thanks be to God.